The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Cosi. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Cosi starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Cosi.org.
Tuesday, April 8th at 8 p.m. Come see me run my hour at the world famous Comedy Store before I head to shoot my special. Madison, Wisconsin, Comedy on State. I'm excited to work with them and bring you my next special. Two shows, Saturday, April 12th. Get your tickets now at RyanSickler.com.
The Honeydew with Ryan Sickler.
Welcome back to the Honeydew, y'all. We're over here doing it in the Nightpan Studios. I'm Ryan Sickler. Want to start this episode like I start them all by saying thank you. Thank you for supporting the show. Thank you for supporting anything that I do. It is well appreciated. Check out the Patreon. Get over there. The shows are wild. And that's the biz, man. We're just going to get right into it. You know what we do here. We highlight the lowlights, and I always say that these are the stories behind the storytellers. And I am very excited to have this guest here with us today. Ladies and gentlemen, first time on the Honeydew, Joey McIntyre. Welcome to the Honeydew, Joey McIntyre.
I clap for me.
Give it for yourself, bro. Give it up for yourself. It is a pleasure to have you here.
Got Jimi Hendrix looking on, making sure everything's copacetic.
Tom Segura made that bust. He had it made for me as a surprise. And I'm a Hendrix super freak. And usually when I see something, I'm like, that's really good, but it's just slightly off the teeth or the whatever.
Yeah.
This fucking thing,
no, it's flawless. It's beautiful. Like,
that's Han Solo and carbonite right there is what that is.
Right. It's now, amazing. Do you have to be a guitar player to like adore Jimi Hendrix? No.
I'm not a guitar player at all.
But he's your guy.
Just coming out on stage.
Yeah.
At Monterey and just literally three guys. There's no seven, eight, nothing.
Yeah.
Three fucking dudes. He's playing lead and rhythm.
Yeah.
And everyone was like, who the fuck is this guy?
Yeah.
And Paul McCartney brought him over and was like, this is the guy that's been kicking ass in England the whole time. Scared Eric Clapton.
Been hearing
Keith
those
Richards.
Stories. Yeah.
And then off he goes.
I love those backstories that, you know, we only get now, you know, from, you know, you get all that content, but like, the fact that it took that long to figure out all those backstories of different bands and who toured with what and the Beatles with this one and that one and that whole connection is very cool. A buddy of mine, he mixed all the New Kids hit records. His name's Phil Green. Character. But could play like crazy. And he always told a story about, I can't do it any justice because like Phil, by now he's like a New England guy. And he's like, he's got no fucking teeth, but he's like, listen, baby, it's a hit record. It's a hit record. You know what I mean? He'd make something. So, you know, he told that story about something like you, but like he did something like, he just walked on stage and he would light a joint. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then like, before you knew it, he'd, you know, spin around, jump up in the air, and then a split and gank, gank. You know what I mean? Like with a freaking drink in his hand. So, he's a good one. He's
legend.
Yeah.
I just feel like I want you to plug things real quick. Say this.
Oh,
there are certain people, when you look at them, you're like, oh, that person came here to do exactly what they were supposed to do.
Right.
Then I think that's one of those guys.
Oh, yeah.
No doubt.
Oh, yeah. No, that's a good.
And you think
pure.
About fame, like, You were famous before the internet.
Yeah.
Think about that today. Like how big you had to be back then for the world to be like, you got to hear this guy. You got to listen to this band. You got to see this comedian and selling out arenas and shit back then before you could just click a link and see it everywhere in 10 seconds. Like that blows my mind. The level fame.
That's true.
The way
I mean, number one, yeah,
place.
I think, well, I mean, and people debate this a lot. It's like, was it easier without the internet or with the internet or is it blah, blah? And it's a fun conversation, right? Because it makes it a good debate. To me, though, like one argument is, yes, but back then there were gatekeepers, right?
It's very true.
You know what I'm saying?
There was a wall that you
couldn't get over.
There
was a gatekeeper, you know, as a performer, as a guy, you know what I mean? Like trying to make things happen. It was... I got to get to this guy so he can get me to this, you know.
Instead of going right through the wall to everybody.
And now it's about the people, right?
You're right.
Yeah, so it's that.
Good point.
You know, there's pros and cons, right? Because sometimes it seems like it was easier back in the day if you could just get to the back door and go, just give me a shot.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Hear me out.
And then one step at a time. Now it's like everybody's got a shot.
Yeah. You everyone does saying? Have a shot. They
it's
really
like,
do.
Yeah, it's like it's like The Walking Dead. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Or at the back door. You know, you're like, what the? You know, so
real
it's
quick,
interesting. Yeah,
promote.
So
you're
I'm
about to go on tour. Yes, do it.
So, well, this week I kick off my solo tour, which starts in Houston. I actually developed as one of my pitches. I had fun with it, but I made a little rap for the date, so I'll do it really quick. Houston, Dallas, and Old St. Louis, Chicago, Detroit, Toronto, two, Cleveland, two Vills, Lou and Nash, Birmingham, let's kick some ash, Gainesville, Savannah, Raleigh, D.C., Philly, Boston, and NYC, Freedom Tour Phase 1 is here. Buckle up, baby. See you there. So that's those are the dates, but it starts April 4th, and it's to, you know, really just tee up my new solo album, Freedom, and which I'm very happy about, 10 songs. And I wanted to get very specific about how this tour is and how I portrayed, if you will, or presented this album. I like to perform no matter what. I guess I pride myself that I can get up and sing a song anywhere. I don't have to be too precious about it. I've toured my solo stuff. You know, the cabaret vibe is great for me. Sit down, have a cocktail, have something to eat. Let me entertain you. I like that. And I'm lucky enough that I can do that as a solo artist. But this is a little bit more, there's more of a vision around it. So I'm excited. I'm really excited to do that. And
can I ask you this? When it comes to the solo project, things like that, do you write your own songs?
Yeah.
Do you write some, collaborate? What's your process?
Out of the 10 songs, me and my collaborator, Sean, we co-wrote 8 of them. And then the other two I wrote by myself.
Okay.
And Sean, this guy, Sean Thomas, produced the record. He's 24 years old. He's from Vancouver. He's phenomenal. You know, like, he's in the room, and I'm like, what's he getting out of me?
24. I mean, how old were you when he started?
Yeah,
when he was born.
Yeah, exactly. So apparently we do have a good time. He's wise beyond his years. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I like to think combined, we're just like this, you know, 37-year-old dude. But
good for you for recognizing that young can be great as well, and not just as green. You got to earn it. You know,
it's got to. Yeah. It's yes. I've always written songs, especially for my music. This album, well, I think we like to think that everything we do is better and more evolved, and you know, shows growth. And I hadn't done a full length solo album in 15 years. I've written a lot of one offs. I've written for the New Kids, and that's been great, but to do a full, you know, a full album, is a commitment. You really got to go for it. And I had the gusto and hung in there and was inspired by, all kinds of things in my life to stay the course and get it done. So it's nice to be happy with the project, you know, because you can also be like, oh, it's done, but damn, I wish I could have done this or done that. And I don't have those. I'm not up at night going, oh, I wish I could have. So I'm very happy with the finished product. And now it's just, you know, supporting it without, you know, you got to hustle. You know the hustle. It's a hustle. You know what I mean?
That's what I'm sitting here thinking too, respectfully. You've been in this business a long fucking time.
Bro. Yeah.
How old were you when you actually started?
I mean, when you started,
I don't mean fame or popularity. When you started grinding.
Well, I'm a theater kid. So I grew up in community theater when I was like 6 years old. I just loved to do it. It was fun. No strings attached. You had a blast. Of course, you learned a lot and you wanted to, again, get better, but it was just for fun. New Kids came and knocking when I was 12.
Bro, and you're 52?
I'm 52.
You've been in this business for 40 months.
Well, I've known those guys for 40 years.
That's insane.
Yeah.
And what I want to get at is like you're still finding a passion for this that's different. You know, you start in a band, a group, and then to want to –
still doing very well with them, thank the grace of God.
Then able to offshoot independently, and you're still relevant, still finding it enjoyable, still also hustling like a motherfucker, not sitting on your ass or thinking everybody's just going to do it. Because you said it earlier, there's so much out there to watch today, so much to see and do. Yeah. You're not going to catch it all.
Yeah.
And the fact that you still, after 40 years, you love it. I can tell you love it. I can really tell you love it. Well, you're here to do what you were supposed to do.
Yeah.
You're doing exactly what you were supposed to do.
Yeah. I think, as I've been saying the last couple of years, turns out I bring a lot to the table. You know what I mean? So, and that's, you know, I get to do other things and, you know, movies or theater or different projects, you know what I mean? And you know, it's a catch-22. It's like you can't just suddenly have experience. You got to live it, you know? It's like, you know, God willing, as we get older, we learn. There are tough times, but maybe we can see the forest for the trees a little bit more, you know, but it's not always like that. You know what I mean? And that probably brings us to, you know, your question of, you know, the lowlights. Funny enough, because when I was like, when I was coming here, I was like, oh, yeah, that'd be cool. But I'm like, what? Because we all have them, you know, specifically. But funny enough, you know, as the universe would have it, at the end of this road, you know, those two towers, the two buildings, they're identical. For those of you at home, we're in Los Angeles, which your folks probably know, but off of Santa Monica, and there's two big buildings there. And I'll always remember those two big buildings because there was a casting director in there. There might be a million of them, but there was one. So, you know, yes, I've been doing this, you know, for a long time. There's been down times, there's been dark times, there's been freaking biggest pop band in the world, there's been you're a nobody, there's been everything in between. You know what I mean? And I would feel like I spread myself too thin, you know what I mean? Because I did love to act. I did love to do theater. I did love music. So, but sometimes I'm like, well, maybe you should just focus on one thing. And so that could be true. Sometimes I felt deluded. Sometimes, you know, energy is energy, right? So sure it's going to suffer. It's like, it's math. You can only do so many projects before you start getting, you know, maxed out and the work is being compromised, right? Mm-hmm. So that happened to me over the years. And I would come out to LA and I had a manager and I had an agent and all that jazz. And I would get different gigs. I forget, this is before, I think this is, I got to figure it out. It might've been The life-changing gig is when I came out here and I got on Boston Public, which is a David E. Kelly show. And he was a huge producer and still is, but.
Now, that's wild to hear you say life-changing, because I would for sure would have thought New Kids would have been the first life-changing.
Well, I meant acting-wise.
Okay.
That was a big. I had a couple before then, but life-changing in the sense I came to L.A. and I met my wife, and a year later we were married. All so right. Life-changing in that sense.
Gotcha.
So anyways, let's just say it was a funky time. It was a low time. And my manager's like, I'm like, I don't know about this audition, right? It was for a Ed Burns pilot. I think it was made. It was called The Fightin' Fitzgeralds. So this is Ed Burns was doing his thing, kind of in, you know, Saving Private Ryan. Before that, I mean, that wasn't, he didn't write that, but, you know, he was doing his thing. And I was like, yeah, it seemed like on paper a good fit, you know, Irish kid. It was probably New Yorkers, you know what I mean? I'm from Boston, the whole thing. Manager says, just go to the audition, see the casting agent, you know, and, go from there. She'll see us. So I went up to her office, and it wasn't like, it was like this, but it wasn't even filmed. I just read with her. Right.
Okay.
But I had my tail between my legs. You know, it was one of those, you know, you just want to stand in the covers that day. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It was just like, or go to a movie or check out or see you later, you know? And, I read for her, and she said, I finished. And she said, it's so funny. She said, well, you don't suck.
That's how it started.
Good one, right? Well, you don't suck. Does that just say it all? Okay. Does that say it all? Does that say it all? Is that a honeydew moment or what? Yeah. 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 You don't suck. And I was like, wow. Okay. And I'm just in a fog. I'm like, you know what I mean? Well, come back in a couple of hours and you'll read for Ed and the producers and the thing. It's got to be right there. There's a donut shop down there. I don't know if there is. Throw in a donut, okay, in the afternoon. You know, throw in a donut in between. What could make it worse? You know, a donut. You know what I'm saying?
There is a parking lot over there.
There's yeah. Like, let's throw in a donut, you know, to make you feel
good,
too. And
you're hanging out in the area for the 2 hours.
Exactly.
Yeah, killing time.
Sitting on
in
a
the
bench,
area.
You yeah, know.
In your head, nonstop.
Totally, totally. And there's no TikTok or Instagram to get on.
Nothing,
you're just,
nothing,
you barely yeah. got text to check. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? You're calling your buddy back home saying, what's going on, you know? And, you know, 2 hours, you know, comes and goes, and I go up there. And, you know, again, it's simple math. It's like, did I really do the work on the scene? Mm-hmm. Did I have a partner to do it? Did I have the infrastructure at the time to take care of myself? And the answer is no. And golly. You know how you just kind of black out, you know? I've had auditions on Broadway. Maybe it's just how I look at it. It's like all the stuff I got in my life, you know, the 3 Broadway shows, the David Kelly, the movies, the all those auditions. I was so like in the zone, so present, so in my own body that it was a no-brainer, right? And everything else, not that I, you know, didn't always shit the bed, but like that feeling of you literally want to jump out the window. You want to be anywhere.
This
but
is what
where
I
you
wanna
are.
Ask you. Yeah. What is it? Tell me for you what it feels like to go from being confident as hell, being a new kid and in this genre of dance and music and being like, fuck yeah, to then switching gears and going completely vulnerable to something else where you're not confident in yourself. You know, does that fuck with you?
Well, to me, it's the prep. I mean, to answer that, you know, I'm I'm a performing artist, so I see it as the same thing. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's about communicating. And if you don't know what you're talking about, it's going to show, or if you haven't done the work. I mean, it's as simple as that. And we all like to think, let's go in there. We'll wing it. Maybe they'll like it. I don't know. It's a cold read. It was amazing. Like, I don't know. That didn't happen for me very often, mm-hmm. if ever. I need to do the work. So, yeah, that can be part of the avalanche of making it a darker time when you're like, man, I was the guy, or I was the man, and now,
or not even that, you know, like, man, I'm good at this.
Yeah,
I'm not good at this.
Yeah,
and I need to work at this.
Yeah, I think I think I'm good. You know, over the years, and especially now, I have a lot of confidence in myself as an actor. So that was sort of somewhere there, but I had to do the work, and I didn't do the work. And just to finish, there was one other quote. It's like bookended. It's like, you don't suck, donut.
Yeah.
Then I go in to Ed Burns, and I couldn't tell you how the scene went. We all knew it was bad. We're all just whatever. And I said, see you later. And Ed Burns, he said, he was sweet, because he was like very nice. He kind of knew I was having a moment. And he said, be good. It was that East Coast be good thing. You know what I mean? And he has that high, kind of high pitch. Be good. I always remember that. So, you know, can you avoid those moments? I don't know.
No.
You know what I mean? Everybody.
Not if you're
has,
putting yourself out there.
Right.
If you're going
right.
to put
being
yourself
vulnerable,
out,
right.
That's it.
Right, right.
And the older I get, I try to do, this is so stupid. So I don't dance. I am not a dancer. I'm good in the car. I'm good waist up. When I have to get my legs involved, it's not a good situation. Yeah. And my daughter's doing cheer, right? She's 10 now. Mm-hmm. And at the event, they were like, hey, parents, if you come down and dance, the cheerleaders will show you like a quick routine outside. It'll give more spirit points for your kids. And I was like, you know what?
Oh,
I'm gonna
my
go fucking
God.
Do it and help your team out.
Yeah,
this is something I would never do.
Right.
And I got to get up in front of people and do this. But it's, you know, moms, dads, men, women. I can hide in the back. It'll be probably a bunch of people.
Yeah.
It's in a fucking middle school gym that's way bigger than the middle school I went to.
Oh,
it's like 500
God.
Fucking people.
Yeah.
We go outside and they go, okay, ladies over here, guys over there. I go, oh, no. Hold up, man. Hold up. It's like 50, 60 women. It's like four dudes.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no. I thought we were all. And they're like, no, it's going to be a guys and a girls. I'm like, God. So they teach us this young high school girl.
Oh, and they're teaching you stuff.
And she puts this music on and she goes, do you guys know what this is? I'm like, yeah, it's Tricky by Run DMC. She had no idea who that was. She just knew the song.
Oh, that's funny.
So it's her and this boy, and they're like, we're gonna just teach you a simple routine. So they do a whole routine. We got to do it. And we're like, are we done? She goes, no, that's just the first round. We're like, fuck. It's four rounds. And there's this young black kid next to me, and he goes, I'm not going to lie, dude. I'm struggling with these steps right now.
Yeah.
And I said, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
You saying that right now gives me the confidence I need to get through this shit.
Oh,
bro.
Nice.
So he's messing up. We're all messing up. So then we go in. And then you wait 20 minutes. And I'm like, wait, we got to wait? Like, I'm going to forget this shit. She's like, don't worry. We'll be out there with you.
Oh,
the ladies all go. It's like 100 of them now at this point. They get done. The guys come out. Maybe there's 10 of us at this point.
Whoa.
In front of this 500-seat gymnasium. I'm like, oh, my God, diarrhea.
Oh, my God.
And then the lady goes, real quick, we're going to do our routine. And then after the routine, the freestyle begins. And just so you know, that's the most important part. I was like, I'm not fucking freestyling out here.
Wow.
So we start doing the routine. And I'm, you know, I'm fine following somebody up there, you know, a little bit. And then fucking young kid over here with the I don't know the steps. Maybe he wasn't good at following steps. This motherfucker starts backflipping and shit. I'm like, you son of a bitch, dude. You don't know this part. Dude, another guy's doing the worm and shit. So
of course.
Kendrick Lamar has created a two-step that even white guys can do.
Okay.
And I just two-step my ass. I Kendrick Lamar'd right off that motherfucking stage.
Oh, my God.
And the lady comes up and taps you on the back. Now, my daughter's mother is anytime music's on, she thinks she is dance queen.
Yeah.
And I'm not.
Yeah.
Okay. This lady taps me on the back and goes, "This is for you." And it's this trophy. I go, "Oh, is that for my daughter?" She goes, "No, that's for you." I go, "For what?" She goes, "For outstanding performance. Go for you."
Oh my God.
And I go back into the stands and like, "Look at this, y'all." And they're like, "That's Stella's." I'm like, "That's mine. God damn, that's mine."
Oh.
And so I told my daughter, I go, "Look at that. I got out of my comfort zone. We're both going home with awards."
Sometimes
you just got to do it. Sometimes you got to step up and do it, dude. Then I'm done. I'm going out on a high.
And you had no idea what you were getting into.
Nothing. But that's what it is. When you get out there and you make yourself vulnerable.
Yeah.
The only way to learn is to suck. You got to fail. Yeah. You got to fail. Stand up is nothing but fail. Yes. Yeah. Uncomfortable. Yeah. Sure.
For sure.
So can we go back to the beginning of your story? Because you said 12 is when they came calling.
12.
Now, were they audition? Were you auditioning for this? Or, you know, how did that work?
Kids,
how did they assemble
the new
sort
kids,
of?
It was the way the new kids came together was very unceremonious. It was not a cattle call by any means. I think a total of the whole thing, maybe 8 kids auditioned.
Wow, that's it?
It was, what happened was, there's Maurice Starr is this larger-than-life character, and he had produced New Edition's first album, mm-hmm. Candy Girl. Is This the End, the whole thing. So they're from Boston.
Mm-hmm.
They were like our heroes before we were even a group. Individually, we were like, "Oh my God!" They went their separate ways, and Maurice was like, "I'm gonna do this again, but I'm gonna find some white boys."
Okay, so they go do Belle Biv DeVoe, and Bobby Brown goes off on his own, and Ralph Tresvant, and all that goes off on their own.
No, that's before. No. This is years before that.
I'm saying they were New Edition.
Oh yeah,
yeah, those
that's
guys.
New Edition.
Yeah.
Yes,
and then they broke up, and then they all went and did their own project.
Exactly. I see. And they're back together again. Doing
so, can
their
I
thing?
Ask you this? Because I know people like to say the Beatles are the first boy band sort of put together. Who would you say is the next one? Because I was thinking it was New Edition.
Yeah. I mean,
is there a 70s?
I think the Beatles are. Yeah, I get it. That normally they're not involved, but you know.
So who do you think's the
first?
Well,
the line though, yes, they are in the lineage. I mean, they're in that inspirational, you know, inspiration board for sure. But you know, before the New Kids was New Edition.
Mm-hmm.
Before New Edition was the Jackson 5.
Oh, duh. Jackson 5. How did I forget
Jackson
them?
5.
Of course.
Throw in the Osmonds, which were really just aping Jackson 5. Mm-hmm. I'd like to think we're a little bit cooler as far as us, you know, stealing from New Edition. But I love the Osmonds, too, for what they brought, too. You know what I mean? And they were genuine. You know what I'm saying? There's got to be an organic, genuine mm-hmm. vibe to a boy band. And then, you know, of course, the Jacksons learned from the Motown, the, you know, the Four Tops and the you know, all that. So there's a line there. And it's a blessing to be a part of that, you know, pop sort of legacy.
Now, how are you in this little world of these 8 people? Because you're already a theater kid Like, how do you hear about
this? Donnie met Maurice first, and you know, again, lightning in a bottle. You know, Donnie Wahlberg was this, you know, he was a born leader, big personality, caring and loving, but you know, healthy enough ego to want to make this happen.
Yeah,
big music lover. Very knowledgeable about rock and roll, but also R&B and a lot of weird like lines. Like he was in the record store looking for freaking music and he had Maurice's album in his hand and another album. And I don't know if he picked Maurice's or whatever, but there was all these things that the universe sort of like teed up. And so he meets Maurice. We all have the same story. He lived in a dilapidated brick building in Roxbury, where my parents grew up, in Boston. This is about 6 or 7 towns, basically, in Boston. A lot of people say they're from Boston, and you say, where? And it's like an hour outside. Yeah. This is like Boston. And so he was very unassuming guy, super sweet, but also Maurice Starr was, you know, big chip on his shoulder, wanted to freaking make it. You know what I mean? He had a chip on his shoulder because he, you know, New Edition left him and is, you know, plus he was like a prize fighter. He was so talented, talked a lot of trash, but he backed it up, you know. But good guy with us. Great. I mean, he just really, it was a great combination. But at the same time, Maurice is sitting around. Donnie's like, I gotta get this band together. So he's like, you know, trying to pull things out of a hat. He said, oh, well, he went to school with Jordan and John. He was friends with their brother, Chris. But he's like, oh yeah, Jordan used to sing in the choir. And so he calls Chris and Chris tells Jordan, and then Donnie calls Jordan. He's like, hey, I get this band. I get this group trying to, what do you think, Maurice Starr, yada, yada. He's like, Jordan's like, yeah, that sounds pretty cool. Then John gets wind of it and he's like, I want to get down with that too, right? So it was sort of like a package deal, which Maurice loved because he loved that they were brothers.
Mm-hmm.
But Maurice didn't need to hear a lot. I mean, part of his ego was like, I'll make anybody a star, which is,
I see. Sure.
Which is, it's not true.
Of course.
You
not.
Know,
yeah,
but,
yeah.
But you got to have that attitude. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you do.
You got to have that attitude. So he's got Jordan and John, this incredibly handsome couple of brothers. Jordan can sing. John's shy. He's the shy one, but he's ready to go. And then when Danny found out that Jordan was going to be in it, he was like, because at first he said no, but Danny and Jordan used to breakdance battle. They were in different breakdance groups. So when Danny hears Jordan, he's like, wait a minute, because Donnie and Danny were good friends. So then you have four.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was this kid, Jamie, who wasn't really a fit, but they were good friends and he was a good kid. But he was like, eh. And funny enough, like one of the sort of the things was, his parents didn't want him to be in it. He said, and the story is still coming out, but recently Donnie said that his parents said, I don't want my son going to Roxbury, because Roxbury was a black town and it was, there was a tough town.
Mm-hmm.
So again, how the universe works out, my parents grew up in Roxbury. So when I said I'm going to Roxbury, they didn't bat an eyelash. You know what I mean? And back then it was 1985 and it was like, hey, Dad, some lady's picking me up and taking me to Roxbury. Yeah, all right, yeah, be home by five.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, yeah. It was that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so the rest of the guys were together for about, I don't know, like we're trying to figure out the dates, but no more than a year, you know, hit or miss, things were building, but slow times, you know, it was like a couple of shows here and there. And then they started Mary Alfred, who was Maurice's partner at the time, trying to put this thing together. She found Donnie as well. Sweetheart. She called the local schools in Boston, the local public schools, and said, do you know any little white kids who can sing and dance? And there weren't many of us in Boston at the time.
Is that right? Just cold calling the schools?
And I didn't even go to the school except it was in my hometown and I was going to an after school project, an after school just thing, daycare thing, like when I was 12. And they told me once and I was like, I'm all set. You know what I mean? I like my little community theater, you know, career happening, mm-hmm. You know, I had my buddies and the whole thing. And then they called again and then the New Edition connection. I was like, wait a minute, they work with New Edition? Like, I didn't have a lot of albums. I mean, that was like it, the coolest now.
I feel like that still holds weight today.
Oh, totally, totally. So, and then I went up there, I sang a Nat King Cole song for him. And
you did?
The rest is history. I was in the studio 2 weeks later and
12,
yeah.
And was anyone else in your family in show business? Is like, where'd you find the love for this? Mom, dad, like, or were you just this anomaly?
I had my mother who, we lived four blocks away from the oldest community theater in America called the Footlight Club. Didn't know how lucky we were until I moved to New York and like, this could be a theater, right? Black
Box.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? I've been in plenty of them out here.
It's still living and it's in great shape through the members and grants and they redid it. When I was growing up, it was everything was peeling and falling apart. It was a like a 230 seat theater, like gorgeous, like legit theater in our hometown. And my mom would get away. That was her getaway. She had nine kids, and that was her getaway. She was in plays, musicals, and she would just beam up there. So she showed us the love of theater. My father, on the other hand, as he would say, it's all showbiz. It's all showbiz. He was a union guy, into politics. You talk about Boston politics, Boston Irish politics. I mean, JFK's grandfather, Honey Fitz, was like a the top. Like that's what it was. And it's sort of I keep thinking of the word. What's the word? Prison. What do you? It's sort of like future prisient. Let's see. Let's see, folks.
Teach me a new word.
Prisient. Folks at home, prison. Here we go. There it is. Prescient is having or showing knowledge of events before they take place. So my point is, my dad said it was all showbiz 35 years ago, and here we have Donald Trump in office. So if it ain't showbiz, like what the hell?
Yeah.
You know, and it always has
Ronald
been.
Ronald Reagan, Clint Eastwood,
JFK. It was all about Jesse Ventura.
All these people were actors and performers.
And it's all about the presentation. Mm-hmm. Not all about it, but obviously huge part of it. It's communication. So
the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains June 13th through the 23rd. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Save $100 on the Craftsman V26 Tool Power Tool Combo Kit, now at $199. No matter what the project is, Craftsman's high-quality, high-performance products empower you to build on. Visit Lowe's and check out the full line of Craftsman tools today. Valid through 7/9 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. Maximum initial battery voltage measured without a workload is 20 volts. Nominal voltage is 18.
So my dad loved showbiz. He loved singing tunes and whatever. But he, between my mother and my father, you know, that, you know, and I had seven older sisters. So they all loved to dance. Jeez. Yeah, yeah. I was the youngest of nine. Yeah. So all that, I was, the theater and the stage was my home. Like expressing ourselves that way was, you know, not out of the ordinary.
Tell me. The moment you realize, oh my God, this is massive. Like what happens to you where you're like, this is crazy life changing?
You know, what makes me think of it like, you know, I was, when we got our first hit record, I was 15.
I think just putting myself at 15 right now, like I'm in 10th grade.
Yeah. 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 It was the
and you're going the other global. Guys, aren't you going global?
I mean, it all happened fast. But you know, when you're a kid, it doesn't feel fast.
I'll bet.
You know what I'm saying?
That's why I want to say, because you're 15. Like,
yeah.
That's You got nonstop energy and go, go, go. And
to me, I think of the other guys when you ask that question, because they were 18 and 19, mm-hmm. which is a huge difference.
It is.
You know, I think of Danny Wood, and like he would look at the charts every day. You know, even mm-hmm. before we were, he was just a music fan before we made it. So, you know, I was just watching an old tape that of us in Japan, like when we just started making it, and we went over there for the first time, and it's like we're all babies, right? And he's like, what do you say, Top? He goes, how you feel about the next single, which was going to be Right Stuff? After Please Don't Go Girl was the first single. That was top 10. And we're building or whatever. And he's like, and Danny said, top five, and the album's going platinum. Now, Right Stuff went number three, and talk about platinum. I mean, the Hangin' Tough sold, I don't know, 20 million records. So he was way, so you tell that kid, oh no, Danny, it's not only going to go platinum, it's going. But to answer your question, for me, I didn't really have that, oh my God, because it was just another stage for me. It was exciting. It was fantastic. It was fun. I realized that we were playing arenas, and it was, but
outside of that, nobody's coming to your house. It was no weird fan. You know what I mean?
Where you're like, all that stuff.
That's what I'm saying. That's not normal.
Oh,
you know what I mean? Like, it's one thing for you, the performer, to do what you're supposed to do.
I just wanted to go home. I remember one time I pulled up, I rented a car because, like, that's all you want to do is, man, I can rent a car, take my friends to McDonald's. So I'd rush home on a day off. And I went to my childhood home, my dad's home, and I don't know, there's 50, 60 girls outside of my house, right?
No.
Yeah. So and for some reason, anybody in their right mind would have kept driving.
Yeah.
But you have this sense of like, no, I want to go home. I'm going to go home.
That's my house.
And so I pull up the driveway, which I never do. You know how some things you do when you just don't, like, we never went through the front door because my mother said, come through the back door mm-hmm. with the night kids. There was just certain things that the household had. So I pull up the driveway. I run in. They're losing it. My sisters are like, what are you doing here? What the hell are you doing here? You know, I was like, so I finally leave. And I'm trying to back out as they're coming up the driveway. I'm trying to. It's tiny. It's a tiny neighborhood. It's like I'm surprised it didn't coming up on the curb so I can. Yeah, it was not normal.
What's high school? Are you just homeschooled after that? Like, how do you even show up?
I did ninth grade, and then that summer is when it started blowing up. So
did you ever go back for a prom or anything like that?
I did my midterms at 10th grade.
You went in to take them?
Yes, but it was an all boys school.
Okay.
So, the girls weren't.
You would not probably not even got out of that damn school. Mm-hmm. I see.
And then after that, it was all homeschool. Yeah.
And what would you say? Like, you have kids mm-hmm. who are roughly that age now. Mm. Looking back at looking at them through your lens, like, what were some of the hardest things to deal with being that age? Even though you do have all the energy, and that's the time if you're going to do something like that, it's like, I'm going to do it now and get it in.
Yeah. I mean, buckle up. I mean, I had, thankfully, we all had good families. I had seven older sisters that, you know, were always keeping an eye on me, whether I liked it or not.
Keeping you in line too?
Ish, yeah, mm-hmm. enough. I mean, my mom was strict, but my dad would come out on the road and check out on me and check in with me. And, you know, he'd always say, sit down. He's like, take 5 minutes for yourself. I go, 5 minutes? What 17-year-old is going to, 16-year-old, okay, Dad, thanks. You know, that's the thing that I always say about my kid. It's like, kids have to learn it on their own. You know what I mean? There's nothing... It's like the teacher in Charlie Brown. It really is. It's just human nature. I think the best we can do as parents is, you know, obviously put a roof over their head, clean clothes, food, and try to listen, set some boundaries. But the advice thing, they got to learn on their own. They got to learn on their own. So, listen, sit down. Listen, when I blah, 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 I don't think it works.
When you grew up, the internet didn't exist, motherfucker. All yeah. that old advice. Yeah. yeah. Like, yeah.
I mean.
That's the best advice.
Not that I don't say that.
No, sure,
because,
sure.
Because, oh, here goes dad. Yeah, of course. I know, yeah, we dad. Know. You know, yeah. I recognize that that's not, you know, that's, it's in one ear and out the other, just like every generation.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
So when you're in the middle of it and you guys like, I mean, also you become branded. I mean, my younger cousin, so I'm your age. So my younger girl cousins, I mean, bro, I've been looking at you on their walls for years. You know what I mean? Looking at you
demo
on their
central.
Every time I walk in, I'm like, Jesus Christ.
Sure.
These guys are taking pictures left and right. These posters.
Yeah.
Like, what? I forgot what I wanted to fucking ask.
So you said, let's see.
Damn it.
So we said.
That's rare.
We said kids and advice.
Oh.
Yeah.
You guys are grooving. You're in it. Have you ever fallen on stage? We talked about being.
Oh, the bad stuff?
Yeah. Like
the funky stuff?
Yeah. Have you ever? I mean, it happens. Yeah. But I mean, it. And this is before internet too. So I imagine you not being the Beyonce falls not on stage. But.
Yeah, what do we...
You ever here, I got a great question for you. I was just telling my... I was working out my physical therapist today, and I was telling him, you know, like, back in the day when we would do three shows a night, the third show, sometimes me, I would find a little difficult at times because I know I've already said this shit twice tonight, but did I already say it in this hour? You know, and I start getting in my own head away from being present. I'm like, fuck. I'm supposed to say it two times. Sure. Should I say it? You ever do that? You ever fuck lyrics up?
Well, I've been pretty good with that. I mean, I'm a theater kid, and you know, on Broadway and in New York, you know, you're doing eight shows a week. You know what I mean? So I know that. Is this the Wednesday matinee or the Sunday matinee? You're like, what the hell?
Yeah. Never fallen off stage or anything. You guys are moving so much. I always look at you guys
the stuff that we talk about. Do you remember when blah, blah, blah? I mean, I'm trying to think. I mean, well, when we were just sort of building up steam, because before Please Don't Go Girl was really taken off. It was on the black charts, the black music charts.
Okay.
And it was building up steam and went to 55 and then stopped. And then we got a break on a pop station in Florida, started playing it. And that was it. It's crazy. So talk about the gatekeepers, right?
You're right.
You know what I'm saying?
DJs back in the day
that
were.
Was it.
Yeah.
That was it.
If you could get your record played, yeah. man, that was yeah. big time.
So we got some steam or whatever. There's some radio play, and we had played this place outside of Boston, and it was like a church basement, but they had a couple of things going on. And so we're going there. We're excited. We're excited about any show. You know what I'm saying? And this is it. Every show was like the Super Bowl. It was like, how are we going to surprise them? What's the gag? How are we going to, you know, with no money, blah, blah, blah. We'd always ripping something off to like expose yeah. another costume, like yeah. something. So we get there. This time we're working on like a little doo-wop section. We're going to play some instruments. And, which we normally didn't do, but we mixed it up. And Donnie can play the drums. But let me back it up, though. we drive up to this place, and it's always us five in one car. Like Maurice would rent a car, or he had a few bucks, or he would, you know, finagle a deal for a Cadillac. So we'd all pile in a Cadillac. And we drive up to this church, and the parking lot is packed. And we're like, oh my God, right? And Maurice kept, the power of radio, the power of radio. We got down in the basement. No one's there. It's bingo upstairs.
They're packed out for bingo, bro.
It's bingo upstairs, bro. It is bingo. There's eight people in the audience. And this is a show.
Where the bingo
yeah,
is.
Yeah, and this is the show. We're going to try out our big instrumental. Donnie's on the great. Drums, and he's playing in the drum set is like falling apart as he's playing, you know. So,
power of radio is
the
great.
Power of radio, man. Yeah.
The power yeah. of bingo, bro.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Any, what's the weirdest or craziest thing any fan has ever thrown on stage at you?
Oh, thrown?
Yeah, thrown. We'll come back to done.
Yeah.
I mean, it's wild to show up at your fucking house.
I mean, we kind of, when we're asked that, we go, oh, you want to tell them A or B?
Like, yeah. We've
been asked that a lot. But thrown, I mean, you know, when we got over to Europe and in the UK, there's a rabid quality. Like there's those soccer fans out
yeah,
there
that, oh, yeah. oh,
and they're amazing, but
they're
they like kind of lose their shit when they're
right?
in a crowd.
Oh, all right, okay.
Like they'll throw coins up and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, and you probably they're probably drunk. Maybe it's the boyfriend. Who the
yeah,
hell knows?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But they did throw a lot of stuffed animals, and unfortunately, on our first tour over there, they threw a stuffed animal, and Danny was dancing, and he twisted his leg.
Oh, he stepped on
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Had to leave the tour for a couple of weeks, actually.
For real?
Yeah. Yeah, sadly. Yeah,
because that was of a big... stuffy.
I know, exactly, bro. Exactly. I remember him coming off stage, and he's still pissed at me because I couldn't help but laugh because he's like limping off.
Yeah, what yeah. kind of job is
that? Yeah, I don't know if he... I think he forgave me, or he said he did. I don't think he did, though. But that was, I mean, good, we did dude. Feel bad. That was crazy. He had to go home and recoup.
What's the crazy? Now, see, they're older guys. You're the baby also of this group, right?
At this point, I'm just, you know, I play that. The youngest
But
member.
I'm saying you're
say
the youngest
member.
Just That's like you're the youngest
yeah.
of your sisters.
Right. Right. And my brother,
so you're yeah. watching, I mean, you're right. You're looking at a 10th grader.
Yeah.
Who, and these guys would be equivalent to like fresh college freshmen. There's a yeah. big fucking difference
big
there.
Time.
So what kind of, what's the craziest thing? Give me A or B, the fans
oh, a
ever
or B.
done.
Well, my thing is we were in Korea, came back from the gym, you know, ready to take a shower, take my clothes off. I walk into the bathroom and I close the door, and behind the door are two Korean schoolgirls.
Get the fuck out.
And I scream like a Korean schoolgirl.
Yeah.
They scream.
Yeah,
I scream. They scream. We all scream. I grab a towel. I run down the freaking hotel, you know, lobby. And I'm like, there's girls in my room. See, it sounds like a dream, right? It sounds like every teenager's dream to have two schoolgirls, and but it's not when it first happens. So, yeah, you know, there was girls that gone on the top of the bus in Chile. You know, we're like, what's that sound on the top of the bus? We open the hatch and some girl's like hanging on, you know.
That is nuts,
yeah.
Dude.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I get that like from a dude stuff. Mentality, but for girls, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. No, they were, it was intense, man.
What's it like to be a high schooler and walk into a store, a Target or whatever? I don't even know if they had Targets back then. No, Kmart, whatever.
Chess
and,
King.
And see, yeah. And see, okay, a new kid's jacket or lunchboxes.
Oh, that stuff?
Back to school. Is that fucking wild?
You know, I mean,
I know you're so used to it now, but it's got to be nuts. You guys were everywhere. Do your kids know how like globally out there everywhere you guys were?
We've been playing arenas again since 2008. So my kids grew up walking.
So they're seeing it. Okay.
Like, all right. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. 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 So it's, by the way, the credits don't transfer, of course. You know, I'm still dad in the morning.
Of course. They don't give a shit.
Whatever, dad.
Yeah.
You know, so that's, that means nothing.
Fuck inside that lunchbox you were
on. Yeah, exactly.
That.
Exactly. Big time. You know, partly, you know, we were a little dismayed at how much of a brand it became. You know, there were mistakes made along the way. We were teenagers. We were cool. And then suddenly everything is pink and fluorescent, you know. Mm-hmm. And the gatekeepers, unfortunately, let the floodgates open without checking with us.
My cousins had like bed sheets and shit.
For sure.
You guys, pink.
So that might have been like, ugh, there's another thing we don't like. You know, they used to use anything. But, I mean, I guess it's partly... Partly it's like for new kids, when you say, wow, there's, because we have gratitude all the day long. But like when you say, wow, there's a ownership to that. There's almost like a, it's a slippery slope because you can go, wow, look at me. Look what I did. Mm-hmm. So I'll bring it back to. When I see stuff that's solo for me, it's a little bit more like I see the work. Mm-hmm. Okay, this is lovely, but I'm reminded of the work I did to get there.
Got it.
You know what I'm saying? Yep. Like CBS show, and I'm on billboards on Sunset Boulevard with my face on it.
And I did
for
that.
Me. There's a little bit, it's not that you're claiming it, but it's different.
That makes new sense to me. Someone just signed a licensing agreement. You're over there in Montgomery Ward's in the bed section.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like,
what the fuck? I'm on a beach towel right now. Like, that's not because of
that. Yeah. And also because we are a band and we are a group and we did it all together. Mm-hmm. And also was this massive mothership of, holy cow, you know what I mean? Even for all the work we did, it just, you know? And so there's a detachment to it. That's what it is, you know? And for the most part, it's a healthy detachment, you know what I mean? But it is, you know, you talk about Target, the new kids did a brand new full-length album last year. And, you know, you go into Target and there it is at Target. You know what I mean? With right next to Taylor Swift's album and, you know, that kind of thing. So that's very cool. And that's something to be proud of.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you have one of your own action figures? You got one?
Not on a shelf. Not on a shelf.
Somewhere?
Oh, I do have my, what are the other dolls? The dolls that everybody.
Oh, Funko.
Yeah, Funko. Yeah. Funko. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah. I got one of those.
Last question before we wrap up here. You're a child at the time. So are mom and dad protecting you through all this? Like how much are they worried about? Like this is also, you said a mothership and this thing's gone. Like how much are they, you know, trying to really make sure you don't get exploited and you're just a kid?
You know, it was a different time. They would check in. My mother was kind of clueless at the same time. She's just like, oh, my baby. My mother was very dramatic. So this is, you take it with a grain of salt. Sorry, Mom. How dare you? Like, for instance, that first summer when we went on tour with Tiffany, big break. I mean, big break. You know, we got to open.
I remember,
we went from some shows in Boston to opening for her in 10,000 girls a night. I mean, you know, talk about those breaks, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of that summer, we're going to keep going, obviously. And I remember calling her. I remember the phone call, the motel, sitting on the bed, calling my mom saying, Mom, this thing is going to continue. So I'm going to have to get a tutor. What? Like, she didn't put two and two together.
Yeah.
She saw the hysteria. She saw the hit record. She saw everything happen. She didn't connect one and one and go, oh my God, you know? So it was that very homegrown, organic,
learn as
family,
you go.
Family, learn as you go, yeah, it sounds working like class, it. Mm-hmm. Who knows what, you know? And of course, that was, you know, that was such a big part of the fabric of who we were, you know what I mean? And I more and more, you know, people ask how or what. It was our parents. It was our working class, Boston, up from your bootstraps, go get them. It's all in your attitude. You know, that's who made us. That's who made us. And then, you know, from there, we try not to mess it up.
That's great, dude.
Yeah.
Thank you for doing this.
Thank you.
I'm going to ask you advice you'd give to 16-year-old Joey McIntyre. Because, yeah,
I like
your,
that
your
at
life.
16. Oh, me.
Yeah, you.
Oh,
not giving it to 16-year-olds.
Man, just me.
You going back and saying, bro,
yeah,
here's something I want to tell you. Because you're a year into new kids at that point, right?
I don't know, man. I want to answer the question, but it's just like, there's nothing you can tell a 16-year-old. There's nothing you can tell a 16-year-old. You know, it's like, my dad would say, take it easy. Easy does it.
No, what'd he say? Take 5 for yourself.
Take 5 minutes for yourself.
That's good advice, son. These days, my grandmother used to say, I'm going to take 5. She'd always say it. I'm like,
yeah.
What the fuck's 5 minutes going to do for
you? Know? Yeah.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you very much.
Of course. Please promote one more time again.
Freedom Tour, April, joeymcintyre.com for the dates. And come see me and check out the album Freedom. And then New Kids are in Vegas this we didn't even talk the Vegas residency too. So
how long have you been doing that?
No, we start okay. June 20th.
June 20th this
MGM.
Year.
Yeah.
At the MGM. Park.
Yeah.
I mean, is that nightly? How many shows a week do you have to do?
They call it a residency, but it's really bands come in and out, acts come in and out. So you're not there, you know, we have 8 shows at a time, these different chunks of shows.
Got it.
Yeah. So it's
So you get a weekend.
It's a lot easier than jumping on a bus and doing 70 dates.
Hell yeah. At the MGM?
Yeah.
Oh, dude, I'm coming to see
where Usher was and Bruno.
I'm coming to see you guys.
So we got all the bells
MGM.
And whistles. So it's going to be fun.
Thank you.
Yeah.
As always, Ryan Sickler on your social media, ryansickler.com. We'll talk to y'all next week.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall.
No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.